Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. You can use a faster airport security line if you're willing to give up some information and your fingerprint. Now you can do that at CenturyLink Field, as well as Safeco Field. What are the pros and cons of waving your finger to buy a beer? We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. I hope you can stay tuned. First, our top story today.
In case you haven't heard, Democratic leaders keep promising, or at least hoping, for a blue wave in 2018.
Is the forecasting really kind of wrong at this point, that there'll be a Democratic wave?
If any Republican couldn't see the wave coming before today, they can all see it now.
So why would that be a blue wave? I think it could be a red wave. I tell you what, really, I think it should be a red wave.
So much waving. Will it be tremendously giant? Will it be blue? Will it be red? Well, we had our first look in Washington State last night with ballots still being counted, but we're seeing how the balance of power might change both nationally and at the state level after the Washington State primary. Two reporters following election results are KUOW's Austin Jenkins in Olympia and King 5's Natalie Brand. Welcome to both of you.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Natalie, let's start with Congress, which you were following last night. Most of the incumbents did well, as usual, but there were some surprises. Please tell.
Well, I think overall, from the top of the ballot to the bottom, it was a better than expected night for Democrats in the state. And we had our eye, of course, on Washington's 8th congressional district, the district where Republican Dave Reichert is retiring. As expected, Dino Rossi comfortably made it through. But then we had three Democratic front runners fighting over the second spot. And right now, you heard a little clip preview of that race a couple minutes ago, but Dr. Kim Schreier is leading by just about a percentage point, with Attorney Jason Ritterizer in third. Now, what's interesting is if you add up the number of Democratic voters that were split among those three Democratic frontrunners, that total is greater at this point than Dino Rossi's share of the votes. However, there were a few other Republican candidates that didn't really campaign a whole lot. So, you know, we're going to have to see how the numbers come back today. We are going to get updates from King County and Pierce County, which are the more blue counties in this district, which includes portions of five different counties across the Cascades. But it's clear that it's going to be a competitive fight until the very end.
Yes, we started out talking about blue waves and red waves. And is this 8th district a close race between the two, between a couple of Democratic candidates, Republican Dino Rossi getting 43%? What does that tell you about the wave?
Well, we knew that this was going to be a battleground district in the fall, but I think more indicative of a potential blue wave would be in Eastern Washington, Washington's 5th congressional district, where Republican incumbent Kathy McMorris Rodgers, the number 4 ranking Republican in the U.S. House, a member of GOP leadership, she is leading Democratic challenger Lisa Brown by just 525 votes right now, with, again, not all the ballots counted. But that is extremely significant. She is facing the toughest challenge she has had in years. And the fact that it is that close in a historically a very safe Republican district says something. Interesting note about this particular district, it's been in Republican control for 25 years. But you may remember back in 1994, Speaker of the House Tom Foley was unseated in an upset that year in what was a red wave.
That's right. I remember it well. A House Speaker being losing was just a bombshell. And finally, to wrap up Congress, Natalie, also a very close race is in Southwest Washington, another Republican representing Washington Congress. What's happening there?
We have our eye on that one as well. That's Jamie Herrera Butler's seat. And we didn't expect this race to get a whole lot of attention last night. But when you saw that it was as close as it was between Jamie Herrera Butler and the Democratic, the leading Democratic candidate in that race, who's not very well known, not nearly as well known as Lisa Brown in Eastern Washington, That's significant. So now we have three congressional seats currently held by Republicans that are potentially at play. Our state will be getting a lot more national attention than we even imagined.
Austin Jenkins, covering races, including the Washington State Legislature. Before we go there, any comments about those election results in Congress and why it makes it might make a difference to our listeners whether it's an R or a D representing Washington in Congress?
Well, you know, we know at this point that control of Congress is in play. So these are not just local elections. These are elections that have implications for actual control of power in the second half of the Trump administration in the other branch of government. So the stakes are high. I think Natalie's exactly right. As the national political money starts looking at races that are in play and see these sorts of results, I think it absolutely changes the conversation. Money's going to start coming in here, and Democrats are going to be feeling even more bullish about their potential for pickups. Mm-hmm. That said, you know, these are still races that advantage the Republican, especially in Eastern Washington and in Southwest Washington. You've got incumbents; they're still ahead, but there's that opportunity. The door is opened for flipping these seats, and Democrats are going to seize that opportunity.
And for the Washington Legislature,
Natalie. I was just going to say a quick note about the nationwide picture. Democrats need to flip just 24 seats. So you can imagine that those three seats in Washington state, and when you add up all the potential seats in play in California, the West Coast is going to be a really big deal in November.
Right. And in Olympia, the state legislature, Austin, the Democratic control, not even, I can't even call it control, slim majorities in the state House and Senate. What happened in the primary that's worthy of note?
Well, when you scroll through these results, Bill, it's kind of breathtaking, because what you see is in nearly two dozen races where Republicans today hold the seat. So these could be open seats or their incumbent held seats, but Republicans control them. The Republican candidates are in a deficit position. So they are in a come from behind position coming out of this primary. I mean, that's stunning. Some of these are fairly well-known Republicans, fairly moderate Republicans in fairly comfortable seats. We're seeing the 6th Legislative District west of Spokane, which has been a reliably Republican district, where Democrats are leading in all three races there, two House races and one Senate race. So really dramatic results in this first count. And I do think it's important to point out, as Natalie did, that this was just the first batch of votes, probably a little better than half of the final tally of votes that were counted. We may see Republicans perform better in these later vote counts over the next couple of days. But at least at first blush, it was absolutely a runaway night for Democrats.
And Natalie, what effects could listeners notice if that balance of power changes and turns more blue in the Washington legislature?
Mm-hmm. Well, Democrats, as Austin mentioned, they're really trying to widen their slim majority lead in both chambers. And as we saw earlier this year in this past legislative session, certain policy issues, certain pieces of legislation when it comes to gun safety, a carbon tax, those pieces, those bills were stalling because the Democrats couldn't rally on every single last one of their members, and they couldn't get enough Republicans on board. So if the lead in the chambers widens, that means that Democrats in the state will have an easier time passing some of their pieces of legislation and policies.
Austin, so gun safety, a carbon tax, a lot of Democrats long for an income tax in Washington state. Would that be something that could come up with more Democratic seats in Olympia?
Well, let me just say before we get to January and in the November election, that these results are going to be galvanizing for Republicans. I mean, this is going to serve as a wake-up call. They are going to go into double overtime to try to make up this lost ground. And while they are acknowledging today that there is a Trump effect, even down to these local legislative races, they're going to start knocking on doors trying to double down on the idea that if Democrats gain more seats in the state legislature, that then voters are going to see policies that they may not want to see. And so they're going to try to bring this back to local issues. And yes, taxes certainly is a topic that will be discussed at front doors in these active districts. There's also the potential for things, you know, as we start to think ahead about what, for instance, labor unions are talking about, the idea of portable benefits. You know, we saw the state legislature with Democrats in control this year, doing things like paid family leave, right? These are high priorities of unions, high priorities of a lot of groups on the left. So where do those policies go next? It's things like portable benefits. I could imagine that they might start exploring legislation around that issue. But I also know that Democrats, if they gain a lot of seats next year, are mindful of the danger of overreaching. And so passing an income tax, I think that I'd still put that in the highly unlikely category.
Okay, Natalie Brand, any final words from you on what we learned from the primary election with yesterday's deadline?
Well, what I'm thinking about looking forward, to add yet another twist on all of this, we have a couple of really big ballot initiatives that will be on the November ballot. That includes a gun-related measure, something that, as we were talking about, the state lawmakers couldn't get passed earlier this year, and then also climate change, a carbon fee-related measure. So voters will have a chance to weigh in on those issues, and how that drives turnout on either side remains to be seen, and will add a really interesting twist to the whole turnout picture and which side maybe ends up having more turnout.
Austin Jenkins, KOW's Olympia correspondent, and Natalie Brand, political reporter for King 5, watching primary results come in. And we'll get a clearer look at how these election races are shaping up this evening when the counties drop even more election results. I hear a cat that needs tending to back there. Austin and Natalie, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
It's The Record on KOW Seattle. We'll be back in a moment.